Chapter 5. It is a blessing and a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord. We are the Smith family. We have what we call a Heart for Revival Ministries, and we travel the country preaching the Word of God. For those of you who may not have been in Sunday school with us, we pastored for about a little over six years before the Lord led us into this type of ministry. And then before I pastored, I actually traveled for about 4.5 years doing the same type of ministry as well. And it's been a blessing to be able to meet God's people across the nation, as well as to be encouraged by them. It is a blessing to be able to meet you today, as well as to get to know some of you. Thank you so much for being here. You know, if there's something that we need in America, we need a revival of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is, and what Jesus Christ can do for all of us, the lost individual as well as for the believer. I remember being in Seward, Alaska years ago now when we traveled the first time in evangelism. We call it E1. When we traveled in evangelism the first time, we went to a church in Seward, Alaska called Resurrection Bay Baptist Church. And they said, Brother Justin, this is a sad story. Now, just a couple weeks ago, we had our VBS at our church, and we had first-time kids come out to our VBS. They came, and they had a blast on Monday night, and Tuesday night, we went back to pick them up. And they said, oh, we can't come to church tonight. And those driving the bus said, well, why can't you come back to church? You guys had a blast. You wanted to be picked up, and you wanted to come. And the kid said, well, we can't come to your church because all you do at your church is you use curse words the whole time that we are there. And they said, what are you talking about? We don't use curse words at our church. And no joke, they said this. They said, well, at your church, you say Jesus Christ this and Jesus Christ that. Now listen, that's not funny. That's something that we have in America called a problem. Because in America, kids are growing up and they don't know Jesus Christ to be the Savior. Like so many people growing up, a generation ago or two or three, they knew who Jesus Christ was and what He came to do. Now, I understand that that can be a blanket statement because all over America, there are places that need the gospel, but especially as we continue moving the direction that we are moving, we need a revival of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ can do and who Jesus Christ is. And I want to take you to a very familiar passage in Mark chapter 5, and I want to preach on the need of Jesus Christ in our lives today. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse number 21. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And as I look at that verse, I am reminded that a man fell at Jesus' feet. And when a man fell at Jesus' feet, trusting in what Jesus could do, eventually we are going to see that Jesus did something only Jesus could do on behalf of this man and his family. And I wonder who it is today that needs to be saved for eternity. I wonder who it is today that has a situation in their family and they haven't sought Jesus yet on behalf of their need. I wonder who it is today that you have been seeking Jesus. You have fallen on your knees and you are in that waiting process. I guarantee it, there's somebody in this room today who is at the end of the story and they could tell you Jesus satisfies. Jesus can meet needs. Jesus can do the impossible in and through your life. Let's pray and ask the Lord to work this morning. Our Lord, as we pray again, as it's already been prayed, that we would be sensitive, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would see You spring a revival up with inside of our souls, that we would be able to see Your name exalted, not just in our nation, our communities, our families, but in our individual lives first. I pray that we would hunger after You to the extent that we are willing to push aside everything else to get to where You are at, to see this revival in our lives that we need to see. And we'll praise You for it as we pray for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, Amen. Notice again in verse 21, this verse really excites me. Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, and much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. What would it have been like to be there in that day, that Jesus was in our community, and it was whispered about to all of those around us, and we would begin to run to where He is at, because it's this Jesus that we have heard can do this and can do that. Could you imagine the sight that it was to behold Jesus as He was speaking, Jesus as He was healing, Jesus as He was walking this earth? And then all of a sudden, in verse 22, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet. And all of a sudden, all of the commotion of what was going on stops. Because here is a man that had position in the community. Here is a man that had popularity in the community. Here is the man in their community that had possessions. I mean, this is the ruler of the synagogue. But get this, even the one with position, popularity, and possessions found himself in a position where he couldn't do anything for his daughter. You know, it's a pretty good place that we come to when we realize that we have come to the end of ourselves. We can't do it. Maybe it's for our eternal soul. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't earn your own salvation. It is by the grace of God through faith that we are saved. And you come to the end of yourself and you realize you can't get it done. Maybe there's a need in your life today where you realize you've got money in the bank account. You may have popularity in the community. You may have a position that some other people want, but all of a sudden, none of that matters. Because you have something going on in your life that you can't change. And the only way that it's going to be changed is if the God of heaven hears your cry and answers your prayer. Isn't that the very idea of seeking the Lord for revival? Lord, we've come to the end of ourselves. We are needing You to rend the heavens and come down. We are needing You to do something that only You can do. And that is not to negate the responsibility of the believer that you and I have. That is not to negate the fact that we are to be faithful and we are to be fervent, not slothful in business. But listen, friend, there's just some things in this life that we can't do. Oh, I wish I could snap my fingers and revival would happen. I wish I could snap my fingers and your soul would be awakened. I wish that every time I preached somewhere where there was a lost individual in the aisle that I could snap my fingers and cause them to understand. But I can preach the Word. I can be faithful. I can pray. I can seek God. I can respond like Jairus responded. Notice this in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. It says this in verse 23, and besought him, what's that next word, church? Greatly, You see, sometimes we're guilty of not even seeking Jesus at all. But notice the fervor. Notice the desire. Notice the sincerity. He sought Jesus, but he just didn't seek Jesus. He sought Jesus greatly. And some of the crowd could have been like, is that man putting on a show? What is that man trying to do? I want the attention of Jesus as well. There could have been a critical spirit in the crowd. There could have been excitement from others as well. But either way, there was something going on in the heart of Jairus that said, I don't have possession. I mean, I have possessions. I have popularity. I have all these things in my community. But there's one thing that I don't have, and that is healing hope for my daughter. And the only place that I can go is to the only person that I know to go to that can make it better. He didn't avoid Jesus. He went to Jesus. He sought Jesus greatly. And I want to ask you, what is going on in your life right now that causes you not just to seek Jesus, but to seek Him greatly? Oh, where are the days in America where lost individuals would wander into churches looking for hope for that place of death in their life? Where was the day in America that our hearts were burdened over the Lord sending revival? And I know that we as believers say that we want it. I know that we as believers say that we need it, but I wonder, do we show Christ that we need it? Do we show Him that we want it? This man, oh yeah, he could have walked by Jesus. He could have continued on saying, I've got a need. Everybody else has got a need. Why trouble the Master? There's so many people going to the Master right now. But Jairus' need was so big and so heavy on his heart that he would push through the crowd of people and find himself at the feet of Jesus, praying greatly to Jesus that Jesus would do something only Jesus could do. Notice verse 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. You know what I find first of all in that prayer? I find he was specific. I find that it is obvious he had a specific need. And you and I, no matter where we come from, no matter how different we are, no matter how much I sound like I'm from Illinois and how much you sound like you're from North Carolina, you must understand that we all have needs no matter what is going on, and we need Jesus Christ. No matter the color of our skin, no matter how wealthy we are, how poor we are, how physically fit we are, or opposite, we all need Jesus Christ in this life. What's your specific prayer today? What's your specific need today? Are you seeking God greatly? Because listen, this man not only lifted up a specific prayer, he lifted up a prayer of faith. Notice it says this in verse 23. It says, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. And here's the promise, here's the faith, she shall live. I know that you keep your promises. I know that you're all powerful. I know that if you just come from where you're at, step into my house and touch my daughter, I know that she shall live. Isn't that great faith? Isn't that the faith that you and I need to have? For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you lose your keys, you diligently seek for those keys. If you've lost your keys many times, you get one of those GPS locators because you want to find them quicker next time. When you lose your phone, you look for it diligently. And when you lose your phone, a lot of times you buy an Apple Watch so you can ping your phone so you know where it's at. When you lose something, you want to find it because it's important. And as a believer, there's some things in this life that we are diligently seeking God for, and your needs may be different than mine, but there's lost people who need Jesus, and there's a country that needs reviving, a church that needs reviving, an individual that needs reviving. Notice what it says in verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Now, when you and I read this for our daily devotions, sometimes we read over this verse as a bridging verse between stories and between what is going on. And it doesn't really stand out to us as something of importance. But every word of God is pure, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I love verse 24. Don't miss it. And Jesus went with him. Let me paint the picture. This is exciting because Jairus has fallen on his knees before Jesus Christ and he seeks Jesus greatly. He prays. And all of a sudden, after that prayer, Jesus starts walking in Jairus' direction. He starts going in the way of Jairus' home. How exciting is that, Miss Barbara, when all of a sudden your prayer, it's not answered yet, but it's in the process of being answered. And you get some kind of hope that God is about to do something big in your life. Think about it. He gets up off of his knees, and maybe Jesus does one of those lifts that you can imagine in your mind, and Jesus and Jairus stand up together. And Jesus would say, Jairus, show me the way. Now Jesus, knowing all things, he begins to walk in that direction. Jairus and he, they're going to Jairus' house. That had to have been encouraging for Jairus, knowing that Jesus is moving in the direction of his home. As I think about that, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers on our own time, but He gives us hope in the middle of those prayers being answered. We've maybe said it like this or heard it said like this. Sometimes God calms the storm, but other times God calms the child in the midst of the storm. So let the stormy breezes blow as we sing. Because as a child of the God of heaven, we are children of the King, and we rest assured in His promises no matter what is waging war against us and around us. I think of it like this, that great psalm, Psalm 23, that great psalm that talks about David saying, this is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He starts talking about his God. You and I can talk about our God, and we can be pretty good about talking about our God. But in the middle of Psalm 23, the talk changes. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The talk changes from talking about God to talking to God. There's something about the valley that challenges your walk. There's something about the storm that draws you close to the Master. There's something about Jairus facing his storm still. There's been no peace yet as far as the situation as a whole. He doesn't have the possession of a lively, healthy daughter in his hands, but they are on the way to answered prayer as we read in verse 24. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, I'm not going to preach on the message that comes after this. There's a story that happens right in the middle of this passage that we are looking at. It's the story of Jesus being blocked and crowded with all those people, and there's this woman who has an issue of blood 12 years, which, mind you, this is how old Jairus' daughter is. 12 years the woman's had an issue of blood. 12 years the daughter of Jairus has lived. And this woman reaches through the crowd and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and virtue goes out of him, and this woman is healed. In this particular story, here's what we understand. Jairus was so excited to see Jesus walking to his house, but all of the sudden, there was an interruption. A moment of pause. Before Jesus answered Jairus' prayer, there was somebody else who got their answer to prayer. It's kind of like this. Midweek service happens, prayer time happens, Sunday school prayer time happens, and somebody else in the church, they raise their hand and they say, Pastor, that thing that we've been praying for so long, God answered my prayer. And you're over there on the other side of the church, and you've got a decision to make at that very moment. You can either get bitter at the fact that God did something for them, and why haven't you done anything for me yet? Or you can get better in the situation and say, oh, if God did it for them, God can do it for me. If God answered their prayer, amen. God's still in the prayer answering business. This is exciting. Notice what it says as we drop down in Mark chapter 5 to verse number 34. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I love the fact that Jairus got to stand there and Jairus got to watch the miracle. It had to encourage him. But in his mind, he's thinking, my daughter is about to die. Jesus must know what he's doing. He's walking in my direction. I can't wait for him to get to my house. If he could do it for her, the one that went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, if he could do it for her, he can answer my prayer for my daughter. But notice the sadness of verse 35, where moments of hope are darkened by bad news. While he yet spake, Jesus speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. I don't know, Keith, I was talking to you earlier about what it must have felt like for my mother and my father when their three-year-old passed away when I was only one. Their three-year-old that they had to wake up in the middle of the night because he wasn't breathing and they had to do CPR those many years ago in the early 80s. My three-year-old brother that could barely lift his head and roll over at 3 years old. My three-year-old brother that had some physical limitations. I can't ever imagine what it must have felt like as a parent to go through something like that. And so I'm not making little of these things, but I will tell you, my dad did not know how to contain himself in that hospital room. When people would come in rushing through those doors as my parents were trying to help their little baby live, and another little baby would run through those doors in the hands of doctors who had been beaten to a bloody pulp by a parent that didn't care for that life. And all the emotions that would swell because they're about to lose their three-year-old. But they're doing everything they possibly can. And here's Jairus trying to do everything. I've pushed aside my job. I've pushed aside my desires. And I've fallen at Jesus' feet. And in the process, I get so excited. He's walking my way. He's about to do something for me. And then bad news. The messenger of bad news. Have you ever had a messenger of bad news come into your life? And you're just like, now is not the time. Bad news never has a convenient time, right? And Jairus, can you imagine the slump? Can you imagine the heartache? Could you imagine the pain? But notice how Jesus responds in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler's house of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Bad news is going to tell you, you don't need to go to Jesus anymore. Bad news is going to tell you it's hopeless. You see the bad news that's waging war against your country today, and you could say, what's the point? It's so out of my hands and so big. There's no part that I could play. Why trouble thou the master any further? Friends, there's every reason to continue asking the master. Notice how the master responds in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, sometimes in these passages, we read Jesus rebuking people. We read Jesus correcting people. But he is not rebuking the messenger. He is comforting and encouraging the one whose heart is broken. I love how when bad news hits, this momentary interruption by bad news strikes the home, the life of Jairus. Jesus spoke to Jairus with his word and said, be not afraid. Only believe. And isn't that the message that we need to hear in 2020 from the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that the message that we need to hear when all of life is sinking sand around us? Isn't that the encouragement that we need today when fear is weighing us down? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Anchor your soul to the one who can and the one who is able. I love what happens in verse 37. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John. These three, they were able to go places the other disciples weren't. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. You know what I could not do when I pastored, Brother Peacock? I couldn't walk into a hospital room and say, why are you so sad right now? I couldn't walk into a funeral service, Brother Willard, and say, why are you crying right now, guys? I don't have that kind of authority because I don't have the kind of authority to make the situation better. But the power of Jesus Christ and the compassion of Jesus Christ, he walks into this room where the funeral dirge is being heard all around. And he walks in and says, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? She's not dead. She's asleep. Look at what it says in verse number 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. I love the fact that when there was mockery, when there was criticism, when there was scorn in the situation, when they were laughing at Jesus, the doubt, it had to be put out. They had to remove that which was limiting faith to work. Keep your finger right there and real quickly go to Matthew chapter 13. The gospel right before Mark, Matthew chapter 13. And I want you to see the very end of Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus was in his hometown, in Matthew chapter 13, he was doing some miracles. He was healing. He was showing himself strong and powerful. But in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their what, church? Unbelief. Oh, we need to believe today. We need to have faith in what our God can do, even when our back is up against the wall. Now go back to Mark chapter 5 and look at what Jesus does. In verse number 41, he took the damsel by the hand. He said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I love how this passage ends. This passage doesn't end with death and destruction. This passage ends with life and renewal. This passage doesn't end with a situation of hopelessness. It ends with a situation where hope was all around. It doesn't end with doubt and denial. It ends with faith being rewarded as now the daughter is alive. The daughter is walking. Jesus cared about doing something great and doing something big. But I also want you to notice in verse 43 that Jesus also cares about the small things. In verse 43, he charged them straightly that no man should know it and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And every teenage girl said, amen, right there. I mean, but think about the trauma that the body went through and think about how Jesus cared to say, okay, the big thing's been done, but now let's focus on the little thing. And child of God, when God does big things for you, He also cares about the small follow-up and follow-through things as well. And as we look to Jesus Christ, here's what we understand. Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ is able. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must come to the end of yourself and realize you are a sinner in need of the grace of the Savior. There's nothing more that I would have to say to convince you of the fact that you do wrong. Because if you are honest with yourself, you realize that there are things in your life that should not be there. No matter how religious you have ever been or how you've not been religious ever, you understand the things we think, the things we say, the things we do are wrong. But it's more than them just being wrong. It's them being wrong before Almighty God and making us guilty before a holy God. We need our soul to be awakened today, for it is asleep in death. But those of you who know Jesus Christ, you hath He quickened. You hath He made alive. You are a living part of the Lord's work because of what He did on the cross and the faith that you had in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives that you and I may live. And now, dear believer, as a child of God, much in the character of Jairus, we find ourselves. We've got needs and we can't fix them ourselves. It's kind of like we were talking earlier. I got some trees in my backyard, and I don't have all the tools that you have to bring those trees down. But you've got those tools. Amen. And you've got the knowledge and you've got the ability. Hey, there's things in this life that I can't do. There's things in this life that you can't do. You don't have the ability. You don't have the power. You don't have the authority. But oh, if Jesus Christ would get to your situation, and if Jesus Christ would touch your situation, and if Jesus Christ would say to it, arise, how exciting would that be? Wow. What a Savior. Some of those songs that we just sang, it's so easy for them to be so familiar that we just sing them instead of singing them as we've lived through them and Him being our all in all and Him being our everything, because when we were weak, He was our strength. And He still is. I don't know where you're at in this passage, but maybe you find yourself with the need to fall to Jesus because you haven't cried out to Him yet. Or maybe you find yourself, you're rising up from that prayer and you're walking in the direction of your answer to prayer. Or maybe you found yourself where all of a sudden all of the excitement is drowned out by bad news. And you need to hear the word of Jesus Christ that says, be not afraid, only believe. And maybe you need to come to the point of that doorstep in your own house where you decide, let's put the doubt out. We're not going to let the fear dictate to us how we're going to respond to God. But we are going to have faith, believing that He can. I don't know what God wants to do in your life today, but I guarantee it, if you've been listening, there's probably already something that He's speaking to you about. Praise the Lord for that. And thank God that we're still sensitive to those things. I have a scar on my back from melanoma cancer in 2013. They took a big chunk of it because of where it was at when we found it. Now that that scar is healed, don't encourage her, but my wife could take a needle and she could touch those places where the scar is. I won't feel it unless she goes a little deeper. You know, it's possible in Christianity to become so calloused that we've lost feeling. And maybe the greatest revival that you can have in your soul today is getting past the emotions of being calloused and hardened and start feeling again. And that would be just as much of a need to come and pray God, pray to God for than anything. I don't have feeling. My emotion for you is sadly gone. Jesus, I believe that you can restore and heal and mend. What's out of control in your life? Let Jesus take control of it. Seek Him and find Him to be the God who can answer in amazing ways. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and most importantly, our hearts bowed before the Lord. And as the pianist comes, we're going to pray and then we're going to give an opportunity for us to be able to respond. Maybe prayer here at the altar, maybe prayer there in your chair. I don't know how you normally do things, but let's seek the Lord God of heaven this morning. Lord, as we bow before you as a church, we seek you. And Lord, I know that I'm a different voice than what is normal around here, but I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak your word. And I pray that we would be a people who would learn to seek you greatly over the sincerity of our need. I pray that we would have the excitement of you walking with us every step of the way toward our answer to prayer. I pray that we would not allow bad news to weigh us down, but that we would find hope and faith in removing the doubt, trusting in you. And for that one who may be in here that doesn't know you, or that one online that doesn't know you, I pray that you'd reach into their soul and show them their greatest need, which is Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. As the pianist begins to play, let's take opportunity to bow before the Lord, to seek Him while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. Take the need of your hour, the need of your life. Bring it before the Master. And when the bad news begins to tempt you, saying there's no point in praying anymore to Jesus, there's no point in crying out again, put the doubt where it ought to go. Put the bad news far away from you and cry out to the Master again. A couple weeks ago, I received some good news. A prodigal in my life came back to Jesus Christ. And there were so many moments where we thought it couldn't happen. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Be not afraid. Only believe. As folks are praying, maybe you're here with us and you say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know if I were to pass away today. I don't know where I'd spend eternity." If there's someone in here like that, we can take a Bible today and we can show you Jesus Christ. We can lead you in the way of everlasting life. Take an opportunity to come find pastor, come find pastor's wife, myself or my wife, or somebody in this church, tug on their and say, "Hey, I want to know how I can know Jesus like you do." They would be happy to point you in that direction. As folks are praying, I'm going to turn things over to pastor to lead things as he sees fit. But whether here or there, anyone in between, our greatest need is Jesus. Let's never forget it. Let's pray that God would revive our country as only He can.